And you can tell when it's really good. I've gone places where they make biscuits. And I think about my sisters, how well they can make biscuits. And I look at that thing. I said, oh, God, anoint me to eat this thing in Jesus' name. Because people have done the best that they can do, but it's not necessarily a part of their cultural expression. I went one place and they had fried a rooster that was about 15 years old. I bit into that bad boy and I thought every tooth in my mouth was going to fall out. But for them, they were doing the best that they could. And so once again, I had to pray and say, Father, anoint your servant. Please let me go back to America with some teeth. Because these your children have done the best that they can. That was part of their cultural expression. The other thing is language. Are you with me? Because, you know, if I said, honey, you want a sweat tie? You know exactly what I was talking about. Yes. Honey, do you want some sweet tea? But I said, sweat tie. Now, like if I said tonight, don't you remember what we used to do? Every one of you would know that I meant remember. Because that's part of the cultural expression. And then in words and concepts like discipline, boy, I'm gonna peel the hide off you. How many of you know exactly what that means? I don't even have to give you a definition for that. You know exactly what that meant. You are getting ready to get skint, huh? Because language is the conveyor of culture. You see. And you'll find all of this in your extended family. But how about in your daddy's house? Leave your father's house. Because that is where your ethnicity is defined. You look like your daddy or your mama or Uncle Joseph or somebody in the family. Because the DNA is there. When we were boys, we used to say, man, when I grow up, I'm going to be exactly like my daddy. Thank God I had a mama that said, you will not be like your daddy. Now, as boys, we were not saying that in a very positive way, okay? And mama knew that, and she rescued us from the dead. But there were two things that actually were determinants that we probably would be like our daddy, except that God rescued us. Number one, we had his biological seed. And number two, we grew up in his environment. Amen. And you are a byproduct of seed and environment. Amen. So that's why God came and took every one of us out of our father's house. Hello. Yeah. And put us in his house.
Thank you, Lord.
And we all know basically how we grew up. Come on, most of us, we weren't in good shape.
No, come on.
Come on, we know it. Now, you know them bed had, those beds had chinches. Come on, talk to me here. You know it. Now, I know you're dignified now. You dress, you know, really, you really dress and you look real good now. But I do remember when we only had maybe one suit, if we had one suit, one pair of shoes, if we had one pair of shoes that didn't have holes in the bottom of them, or cut out the side of it because your toe was hurting. Talk to me here. Come on. We know that's the kind of environments that we grew up in, that, you know, you could at times look out or look up and you could see the light. It was called the sky. It was not a light bulb. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And God took us out of those conditions and those situations and placed us in his house. So can you see why Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. In other words, what you lived in at first was a shack of humanity, but I've taken you out of there, and now I'm going to establish you as a mansion. So you're called out of one country into a greater country. Later, the New Testament, it says that he left his country and he was looking for that which was heavenly. He left the city that he lived in, and he was looking for a city whose builder that hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He left the extended family, and what he did not know was that in promise number 7, the family was now going to be extended to the point that it was going to be inclusive of all the families of the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my father? Who are my brethren? He said, it's they that do the will of God. You see, that must supersede any other concept that we have of family. And what the church has not done is a very good job of cutting the head of prejudice, racism, and every other kind of ism that keeps us down in these inferior relationships and identified that way. If you're the seed of Abraham, and that's who you are if you belong to Christ, then you're part of a family that's much greater. You're involved in something that's beyond the pigmentation in your skin. That doesn't identify you anymore. And don't let anybody pigeonhole you into that identity. Because what that means is you're still thinking like we're Pharaoh's bondmen.
Yes, sir. Come
on. No, you have a heavenly calling. Hallelujah. Come on, you're from a heavenly country. Paul said in Philippians 3:20, your citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look right now. Hallelujah. So we are interim beings. We live in this dimension, but yet we function in the other. Jesus said it this way. He said, listen, he said, no man is ascending into the heaven but the Son of Man, which is in heaven right now. And he was on earth talking to Nicodemus. So you don't have to go someplace to experience that which is called heaven. You can experience heaven right here, right now. Oh, Brother Steve, I can't wait to get there. No, there can't wait to get to you. Abraham did not know the vastness of this call when God first called him into it. All he could see was, just give me a son. Give me a son. Lord, I don't have an heir. All I got is this Eliezer that I picked up in Damascus, Syria, when I was passing through there. That's all I have is an heir. God, I want an heir that comes from my loins. He saw really, in one sense, the smallness of this thing. But God was showing him really the vastness of this call and how that it would be inclusive of all the families of the earth. Let me close this thing down. Thank you, Apostle. But Moses had to frame this narrative for them so that they could understand why they were called to be a special people, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests. And he walked them through the history so that, in other words, they could move forward from that point. And not go back and repeat this thing all over again. And to know that they were to be a people of covenant, a people of obedience. And therefore God would model something in the earth that would be attractive to all the nations of the earth. He said, in fact, this thing is so powerful. He said, I'm going